Podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson. You see Tyler Dragon. Kareem Alcazar is back, and you guys are looking just fine. No haircut needed.
You're crazy.
Yeah, I look beyond rough right now. This is the longest my beard has looked in a while, forever. And I mean, I might get the Allen Iverson braid soon. My hair is growing out.
Last time I got a haircut was before spring training. And then I came back, and then I was like, okay, I should probably go get a haircut in a week or so. And that was like early March. And then they closed everything down. So I haven't gotten a haircut going on 3+ months here.
Yeah,
I think you should go pony.
I should go what?
Grow it out a little bit. Those curls?
Oh, I thought you said pony, like ponytail.
Yeah, go ahead and grow it out to be a little ponytail, maybe?
No.
You know what, guys? I know we're dealing with a lot of the closures right now, but like I mentioned, we're still going to bring you that Bengals news, and every single week we get new news. We've already had the draft recap. The schedule is out, and the funny thing about the NFL schedule, I know how people feel, a three-hour reveal show, that's too long, but people are watching, and they love it because it's giving you a little bit of hope. And right now, the NFL, as of now, is still going to go on as planned with those early September games, no word yet when training camp, but they've already started the virtual off-season workouts. I'm going to start with you, Tyler. You look at that schedule right now, and again, your opinion's going to change because things will change in this off-season, and if we get a training camp, you'll get to see more of those guys out there. We know the division got better after drafting. You still have the Baltimore Ravens as number one. What did you think, how'd they do with the NFL schedule for the Bengals?
Well, 4 of their first 6 games were on the road. So if there are fans in the stands, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, they're going to have a tough time with all those road games to start. I'm real interested in that first game. It could be rookie quarterback versus rookie quarterback in Burrow and Justin Herbert. I know Tyrod Taylor might start for Los Angeles. But overall, I do think the schedule is pretty good. The Bengals are going to have their hands full with running teams and running backs. I mean, if you look at not only just a division, but outside division, you have Derrick Henry, you have Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott. They have a tough stable of running backs that they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, we all know the Bengals had a terrible time stopping the run last year, ranked dead last in all of football. So if they don't shore up that run defense, it's going to be another long season. But overall, I like top to bottom the Bengals schedule. If you look on Cincinnati.com, I have them winning a couple more games. I know we're going to talk about that later, but I have a complete schedule breakdown on the website. So take a look at that when you got a chance.
Kareem, I think it's crazy because you actually get to hear the atmosphere at Paul Brown Stadium and on the road. Look, we don't know if fans will be in the stands. In the NFL, they're going to do a little more of a wait and see. And they make more money. I mean, not breaking news here. They make more money off TV deals versus getting fans in the stands. But, of course, you want people there. You want them there for that opener. I mean, I think of that Chargers opener at 4 o'clock kick. Paul Brown Stadium, the city, it would be really cool to see. But at the moment, we don't know if fans will be there. With that early road schedule, though, it is kind of a benefit because Zach Taylor talked about that today. Joe Burrow, the away crowds, they really won't be that loud. And do you think that'll be a big factor for the rookie quarterback?
I think if we, you know, when hopefully we get through this pandemic, I think the fans will pack that stadium for that week one game. I mean, you've been cooped up in your house for however long, plus football's back. Plus Joe Burrow and the Bengals have their next franchise quarterback. A national audience, I think that week one game, I think the fans will be back big time. So hopefully we get to hear that roar of the crowd again.
Yeah, the game's on CBS's main national slot, that 4:05 slot. So they're really anticipating that being a huge week one game that weekend. We can all knock on wood and hope and pray that fans will be in the stands and we'll get back to normal and this pandemic will be behind us by then. So hopefully, I can just imagine 60,000+ people filling Paul Brown Stadium. Could be a sellout crowd to see Joe Burrow's rookie debut and against the Los Angeles Chargers. We can all hope.
Right.
What I find interesting, though, and look, I want fans to be there. I think this is a really interesting season for the Cincinnati Bengals. You have this rookie quarterback and Joe Burrow. The ticket sales, jersey sales, I know all of those are up, so it would be cool to see it Paul Brown Stadium. But if you were trying to find any positive of fans not being there early on in the season, if they still go on as planned and starting the schedule on time, and look, things could change. They could move that week one to the end of the season. The division game with the Browns could be moved during bye week. The NFL is thinking about it. Even if they're not releasing these details, they have backup plans in place. I think it could be a benefit for a rookie quarterback when he goes on the road and there's no fans there.
I mean, certainly. I mean, hostile environments, it could be beneficial. But, you know, when it comes to, I think, the sporting events, I think football is the one that needs the fans in there the most because it's only once a week. As opposed to other sports where there are more games. So for Joe to possibly go into a stadium and not, you know, be filled with, or possibly go into a stadium that's not filled with opposing fans could be a benefit. I mean, you got to look at a silver lining. So I never thought of that actually, Lindsay. But he has played in his experience in some pretty hostile environments anyway, in the SEC.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, when you look at that right now, when you look at the overall schedule where it goes pretty heavy on the road and then, you know, they're back home late in the season, what do you think the NFL is going to do, say, if they do decide to delay the first couple weeks?
Well, they have contingency plans in place. If the season is delayed, I can see the NFL foregoing the bye weeks and then pushing back the Super Bowl. There's talks that the Super Bowl can be played February 28th instead of February 7th. So I can see them eliminating bye weeks and also eliminating that bye week between the conference championship and the Super Bowl, and then maybe pushing back week one and having that at the end of the season. So week one being week 18, theoretically, and week two being week 19, theoretically. So they're all contingency plans. We don't know, just as nobody knows right now. Everything is changing. I say daily, but things are changing hourly, minutely, due to this coronavirus pandemic. So my guess is as good as anybody's, but the good news is the NFL does have multiple plans in place just in case that the season needs to be delayed. But they are going to rely on medical officials before they make that determination.
One thing I can guarantee is if the season gets pushed back, if they play games without fans to start the season, people will be watching, and it might be the highest rated NFL season there ever was.
You can just look at the sporting documentaries that we have on TV, the horse competitions. Like, people are craving for sports right now. I think I saw a Japanese or Korean baseball game on television at like 2 a.m. So people are craving for live sports right now, or just some type of new content, no matter how the NFL season is going to be played. No fans or fans, you can bet that people will be tuning in because they just want a diversion from everything that's going on in our society today.
I mean, what I find interesting right now, and we've talked to Zach Taylor about the virtual offseason workouts, which have been going on for a little over a week now. Rookies will start to get involved on Monday. When you have Joe Burrow as a rookie quarterback, you saw what he did at LSU, his confidence level, talking to different people of having that connection with a rookie wide receiver in T. Higgins. We don't know his playing time, but do you feel when you look at that wide receiver room, how difficult that's going to be for a rookie quarterback without having time to really throw to his receivers as of now, how that connection really works?
I mean, obviously, you need to build rapport with your receivers. You need to build, as any teammate, regardless of position, needs to build rapport with their other teammates. And that's a disadvantage across the roster. But I think given the talent on paper of the wide receiving core with Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, T. Higgins, just the kind of the top three right there, I think it's if there were a season where you can't get reps with your wide receivers, these are the wide receivers that you want on your team. Really, really good wide receivers. So it could be worse is what I'm saying. It could be you don't have practice because of the pandemic. You don't get those reps with the pandemic. And you don't have good receivers to throw to. Between A.J. Green, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, I mean, Auden Tate and his great hands, I think Joe Burrow is going to be just fine. It's going to be slow, but it's going to be a slow to gel. But I think he's not the only team. They're not going to be the only team to be slow to gel.
And Tyler, what I find interesting is A.J. Green, he talked to Bengals.com, and I talked to Peter King from NBC Sports about this last week, and he says it's something that Tom Brady did during other off seasons. He has a house out in Montana. He would bring the receivers out there and just throw with them. There's not a lot of people. They're still doing that social distancing. And it sounds like, because A.J. Green did reach out to Joe Burrow, that is something that the Bengals are considering. And A.J. said he'd be up for it.
Yeah, I know personally that Joe Burrow and T. Higgins have been in communication since the draft, and they want to get together to work out. And same with A.J. Green. He's down there in Atlanta training right now, practicing social distancing. But the players, they do want to get together in a safe way and practice and build on their chemistry and rapport on the field. That is something that is very important to the players, especially when you have a rookie quarterback like Joe Burrow. We know his IQ is high. We know that the Bengals really like his dynamic and his attributes as a quarterback. But that chemistry with the receivers is paramount. He has never played with A.J. Green before. He has never played with Tyler Boyd and everybody else. So he needs to build that chemistry with those receivers for them to be successful.
Kareem, I'm going to stay with the wide receivers right now because the Bengals, they're not going to exercise that fifth-year option for John Ross. Your guy, John Ross, was that the easiest decision in Cincinnati Bengals history?
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, John Ross, he's fast. He's, you know, has extreme exponential potential. But it's not like the Bengals as an organization haven't given him plenty of opportunities. Last year, he showed some really, really good promise, and he exploded in a few of those games. Particularly, obviously, what I remember is that Week 1 game was against Seattle. But it's just time. It's time to cut ties. The Bengals gave him plenty of opportunity. He can't catch the ball. B, he can't stay healthy. So.
You're not a John Ross fan, it seems like.
No, I am not a John Ross fan. I've mentioned it many times before.
I'm totally playing with you.
Wait. Let me be more specific. I'm not a John Ross football when he's on the football field. We've talked to him a few times. You know, I've talked to him a few times. And my colleague Sam's did a great story with him. Great guy. Very smart. Very intelligent. But on the football field, I think it's just time to move on.
Yeah, he's only played in 50% of the team's games since being drafted. He just can't stay healthy. We know sometimes he has a problem with consistency catching the football. But the biggest problem with him is he just, unfortunately, cannot stay healthy.
You know, it's funny. I actually talked to veteran wide receiver TJ Houshmandzadeh before the draft, and he's one of those guys who's worked out with John Ross, and he's still working out with him out in California. And we talked about, of course, the health. I mean, we can always look at John Ross and say, the man can't stay healthy, similar to what was here. But what TJ told me, and it's actually in Sam Green's piece, it's really more get to know John Ross and his rookie year and what kind of happened in that first year, is he's lacking confidence. And we saw that in John Ross's career when he's out there. He really hasn't had a chance or a full season to show, this is what I can do. Everybody knows he's fast. But even TJ said he has to step up that game and show, I have confidence in myself. I know I can be a receiver. But we won't see that until he can stay healthy. And I'm going to stay with wide receivers because, you know, every single week we've got to talk A.J. Green. Zach Taylor is not giving us any clues on what's going on with his contract extension. He says he still talks to him daily. They're in good contact. Zach Taylor is looking forward to actually getting to coach him for the first time because he battled injuries all of last season. But, Kareem, when you look at this right now, you still haven't seen the guy. You're dealing with virtual offseason workouts. And, look, when you're deciding between Joe Mixon and A.J. Green, which I think this team is right now when it comes to extension, what are you doing? Are you still standing still of, like, prove yourself and let us just have to pay the price? Or you extended him before the season starts?
So I think AJ Green's cap number for this coming season as a friend is about $18 million. Is that right? So, you know, you get AJ Green for 1 year for $18 million. I think, personally, what I'd like to see a long-term deal done, certainly, but I don't think the Bengals are actually going to do that. I think they're going to make him play his 1 year, and then after the season, try to see what they got, see if AJ is back to being AJ, or not even back. See if AJ is AJ, right? And then try to sign him to a long-term deal, because you got all these rookies now coming in. You got to pay Joe Mixon. I think there was a window early on in the last year or two to sign him long-term, but that window is just about closed now. So I don't think they're going to get a deal, long-term deal done before this season. They pay him the $18 mil, see where they're at after that. He's an unrestricted free agent after that. And, hey, let's say he has a down year. Maybe they get a deal. And if he has a bomb year, like an incredible year, AJ still gets paid, and the Bengals will probably pay him. because, you know, the way also he's expressed, you know, in the past, he wants to be like Larry Fitz. You know what I mean? And if you're AJ, you're like, we got a great college quarterback here. Maybe I can hopefully stay another deal, like as he's mentioned in the past. So, I don't think they're going to get a long-term deal done before the 2020 season.
Tyler, what's the latest over on your end?
So, based on what I'm hearing, I think it is going to be unlikely that AJ Green and Joe Mixon sign a long-term extension before the season. Talks are still ongoing, but based on the moves that the Bengals made this offseason and signed all those free agents, plus you have the rookie contracts, there's not a lot of cap flexibility the Bengals have right now to pay AJ Green the type of money that he wants, plus pay Joe Mixon the type of money that he wants. Keep in mind, both players want to be paid like a top-tier running back and a top-tier receiver. So that's a lot of cash the Bengals will have to cough up to pay those two players. So things can change. The Bengals can do some type of cap reshuffling, but right now I just don't see it happening. But there's keep hope alive for if you want to see an extension. I'll say that. But right now they are still far apart with both parties.
And I think you can make the argument, especially for Joe Mixon, based on his athleticism, based on his performance in the last half of the season last year, and just what you know of him, that you can make a pretty good argument that he deserves to be paid or should be paid like one of the top running backs. As for AJ, it's really hard to make that argument. We haven't seen him play at that AJ Green type level in a while. So, you know, hopefully this year he puts on tape, hey, I'm AJ, I'm still AJ, I haven't gone anywhere. Now you guys really need to pay me.
And that could be a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the Bengals, they do want AJ Green to retire a Cincinnati Bengal. But they drafted T. Higgins for a reason. And T. Higgins has pretty much the same body type as AJ Green. That's not a coincidence. I just keep that in mind with, you know, the AJ Green and how the Bengals view him and want him to stay. They do want him to stay, but T. Higgins was a top second round pick and they were eager to draft him for a reason.
We'll talk about the guy that's going to be thrown to them is Joe Burrow. And people would ask me on Twitter over the last couple of the Andy Dalton backup signing in Dallas was official. Oh, they really have to bring in a vet quarterback to really mentor Joe Burrow. We've heard it. I've talked to people close to Joe Burrow, national writers, and just people from LSU. Joe Burrow is a different kind of college quarterback. And we could say that with a lot of number one overall picks, but his confidence, his swagger, what he brings in the quarterback room and what he was able to do in the 2019 season at LSU and just 2018, which he doesn't get enough credit for, what he was able to do in those 2 years, is a different style college quarterback. We're dealing with virtual offseason workouts, which makes things a little different. Zach Taylor said it. Duke Tobin pretty much said it. Both are set telling us exactly what we thought, what we've been telling you. This team isn't bringing in a veteran quarterback. Kareem, do you think that's a good or bad idea?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, I don't think Joe Burrow himself needs mentorship. I mean, Zach Taylor is a quarterback's coach, Brian Callahan. They got plenty of quarterbacks coaching and institutional memory of that position, right? Experience at that position to teach Joe Burrow. The team needs a veteran quarterback. The team needs a good backup. Because, look, the Bengals, I expect them to be a little bit more competitive than they were last year. I'm really going out on a limb there. But I think if something should happen where Joe Burrow can't take the field, the team is going to need a solid backup experienced quarterback. So, again, Joe Burrow doesn't need a mentor. He has got plenty of mentors between on the coaching staff, his dad. I think he's just fine there. But the team needs a good veteran backup quarterback.
So you're saying you're uncomfortable with trotting out Ryan Finley?
I mean, no, you're right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
They're backup quarterbacks for a reason. You look around Andy Dalton during his time with Cincinnati. For the most part, he had a backup quarterback who wasn't a veteran. And I don't think that – I think Joe Burrow's different. I think you have a quarterback coach in Zach Taylor. He's a head coach, but he's calling the offensive plays, and he's been in that position. I think Jared Goff misses Zach Taylor, and you can see the difference from when Zach Taylor left Los Angeles to where he is when he's with Cincinnati. Look, I don't really count his first year as a head coach to really determine if this guy should be head coach or not. I think this year is what really matters and factors in because he had a full offseason. But I don't. I think it's different with Joe. And honestly, they're a backup for a reason. It's a backup quarterback for a reason. You can look at the Dallas Cowboys. You can look at the Philadelphia Eagles. You can look at the Packers right now and say that quarterback room got better. You don't want to see the backup quarterback on the field. And I don't think Joe Burrow needs that. I think you have plenty of guys, even Brian Callahan on the offensive coordinator side, to mentor him. And Duke Tobin pretty much said that last night. And Zach Taylor just reconfirmed it today. When you look at the offensive line, I mean, this has been every week, every year, every offseason, people want to talk about that. Drafting a first rounder, I mean, people will look at Billy Price and say he's a bust. He's still on the roster. It'll be interesting to where he competes on the offensive line. We won't really get to see that. And I think, honestly, Kareem, when you look at that, not having confirmation that we're going to see a training camp right now, I think that position group is interesting because Duke Tobin said it. They're still competing. They're not set with just putting out the guys out there from last season. There's going to be competition, and it will be – you know, to have Jonah Williams back is a big difference maker. A lot of people still forget that. And some say, well, we haven't seen him yet. He was dealing with injuries last year. When you look at this offensive line, I'm throwing a wild card out here. Would you move your strongest first rounder guy over to the right side, or would you keep him at left tackle?
Jonah?
Yeah.
No, I keep him at left tackle. I mean, that's what they drafted him to do. That's what the plan is the whole time. And the thing is, you know, as the offensive line improved last year, and then, like, you saw them during the draft, you know, didn't really take an offensive lineman early on. They did get a pretty good value in the sixth round. Right? That's the sixth round, right? they did get a really good value in the sixth round. So what is concerning, though, is the lack of practice time. More than any other unit, more than any other position, the offensive line needs reps together, regardless of the status of how healthy they are. Now you bring in, okay, Jonah's coming back, hasn't seen the field, hasn't played. He needs reps. The guys all around him need reps. The rookie offensive line from the sixth, he needs reps. That's what's concerning to me, is that the offensive line right now and for the foreseeable future isn't really getting the reps that it needs in practice to gel and work as a unit. So it's not necessarily the performance of the offensive line of the last few years that is concerning to me, because they have really gotten it together, especially in the last half of last season. But it's when you bring in new pieces, more than any other unit, the offensive line really needs to work together. So that's what's concerning me, is that they're not getting time to practice.
Yeah, to that point, everybody likes to talk about the chemistry between Joe Burrow and the receivers, but that O-line group needs to build chemistry together too. And Jonah Williams is going to start at that left tackle position. The questions on the offensive line is at right tackle. Is, you know, Bobby Hart going to start? Could Fred Johnson possibly push him for that right tackle spot? And then guard two, does Billy Price maybe push Michael Jordan? Xavier, does
Xavier Cream tell him it's Xavier.
Does he start at right guard? So that guard, both of the guard positions and right tackle, those are question marks for the Bengals. I have Bobby Hart remaining the starter at right tackle, but I would not be at all surprised if Fred Johnson upseated him and started at that tackle position. But Jonah Williams is going to be the week one start at left tackle. And his first NFL game, how would you like going up against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram? Those are two dominant, fierce pass rushers. So he has a big test week one.
The Bengals went late in the offensive line in the NFL draft. We've talked about that plenty of times. I actually talked to Duke Mannyweather, who is an offensive line scout developer. He had been working with Hakeem, and he pretty much told me this guy is, and he had draft grades that were higher. So some feel he was a little bit of a steal for the Bengals late in the NFL draft. But they have actually been practicing the right side. He's comfortable on the left side, but that's something that his trainer has been working on with him. And Billy Price. So it makes things interesting when the scout developer has Billy Price down there. He's going to start working with Jonah Williams, and then he has Hakeem. They will have a little bit of competition, but I think what's nice is Duke Tobin is telling you, Zach Taylor is telling you, that offensive line is not set. I mean, they are competing for positions out there. It doesn't matter if you're the first rounder or not, and I'm speaking towards Billy Price just because he was a first rounder. They show you it's all about talent, and that's why you have your center and Trey Hopkins, and everything else is up for grabs. But not having that training camp, I think the offensive line, that's where things get just different. And to see how these guys are going to look and how they're going to gel in that chemistry. I mean, again, Trey Hopkins told me last season, chemistry is the most important thing when you look at the offensive line. And he never really had that last year. And I still think we're going to see a little bit of musical chairs when you look at that offensive line. So that'll be interesting. But Tyler, you heard Zach Taylor talk about it. He seems pretty comfortable with how these virtual offseason workouts have been going.
Yeah, he says he's satisfied with the attendance. He wouldn't disclose if A.J. Green or Joe Mixon were part of these virtual offseason. But he said the players that are part of it, mind you, everything is voluntary, have been fully engaged and very active in these meetings. And he's confident and he's hopeful that when players can be back on the field, they can hit the ground running because the participation at these virtual offseason meetings has been superb so far.
Kareem, what do you feel like the biggest difficulties when you are dealing with virtual offseason workouts? I mean, the rookies get a little bit of a late start. They'll start on Monday for teams that don't have the voluntary workouts.
I mean, you can study the playbook. You can do all that kind of stuff out. You can watch film at home. You can do all that stuff digitally and virtually on your own. Obviously, we have Zoom stuff when you with your position groups. Main thing is not even conditioning. Conditioning you can do on your own, right? Working out you can do on your own, still stay in good physical shape. Maybe not quite to the level of pre-pandemic, but still pretty good to play football. Chemistry. It's learning how your teammates play. You know, especially like just little things. Like I know when I played high school sports, again, just based on my own experience, you pick up on little things your teammates do that are kind of clues to how this play is going to go down or where I should pass this ball. Same thing with football. You need to learn how your teammates are going to play. And with the NFL, it's not like other sports where the rosters kind of generally stay the same. In other professional sports, there's not such high turnover. Each year in the NFL, you get a new crop of players, a new crop of free agents. And so playing together as a team, that's the biggest drawback right now, is that they can't gel at all.
Yeah, nothing can replicate what you can do on the field with, you know, on-field practices. Right now, the best everybody has is virtual meetings and running outside at your backyard or doing push-ups and sit-ups, the Herschel Walker workout. So that's pretty much what players are resorting to right now. Some players are lucky enough to have gyms at their house or in their garage. So that's work with what you got thus far.
Or calling Wheels up and getting you a private jet to go meet up with your quarterback or your wide receivers. All that's to be determined. You guys, I can't let you go. I know things are going to change with a training camp to be determined, the rest of preseason and when regular season starts. And we will have official predictions of where we think this team is going. But this is your prediction. When you see that schedule, your first reaction, what is your record right now?
Go ahead, Kareem. I'm putting you on the spot. Mine's already online, so people know my prediction.
I mean, it's not just a way too early prediction. It's the, like, absurdly early. We didn't even, like, the draft is just like it was like last week.
We don't even know right now. And this is why it's a disclaimer. I'm disclaimer. This could change in July and August when we really put our predictions out. But I'm just doing first overall reaction of, yeah, see the schedule. This is what this team is going to do.
Right? Okay. I do have an answer, but I'm not done with this point just yet. Okay.
I know you were. I knew Kareem would have a hard time.
But wait a minute. The thing is, it's like NFL – the things change from season to season so drastically. So all to make this early prediction, all we have is what we have based on last season, which can change anyway. It's not like basketball or baseball. Anyway, I think based on what we know now and based on the team's performance from last year, Bengals get about 5 wins this year.
Tyler?
I one-up you. I have 6 wins. I have them still going 1-5 in the division, but I have them going on a mini winning streak later on in the season. So
it's just so hard. Overall. It's just so hard in the NFL because there's such drastic change from year to year.
Yeah.
Here's my prediction. And study shows, just so you guys know, study shows that fans like predictions. So that's why we're doing this early. This will all change. I'm going 6 wins too. This team will look better, but things will change. And could my, you know, prediction change by the time we get to July and August? 100%. But right now, I'm going 6 wins. They're going to look better. I think what people have to understand, and it's always when this comes out of my mouth and I think about it, when I tell Cincinnati fans they have to be patient, they've dealt with patience for over 30 years without a playoff win. So I get that. But at the same time, you have to have patience with this new core. Even from Zach Taylor in his second year, you look at this defense, they've added new guys. They started to get better second half of last season. When you look at the offense right now, Joe Burrow in his rookie year, you're adding T. Higgins. You've got to give him time. Not saying this guy can't be a franchise quarterback, but I'm saying when you look at this team as a whole, it's a work in progress. And they'll look better, but your division got better, and the Baltimore Ravens are still one of the top teams in the AFC. So I'm thinking about 6 wins right now. But again, that's a prediction.
I'm honestly surprised. I thought optimistic Lindsay was going to have the Bengals at like 10-6. So.
No, I'm not at the moment. I'm going 6 wins. And again, things could change.
By July, Lindsay's going to have the Bengals at 11-5.
Super Bowl. No, I'm joking. I'm not. I just think it's patience going into this year with Joe Burrow. And look, things can happen. The season could get shortened for the Bengals for the better. And they end up playing better in those games that they have. We don't know. The NFL has backup plans. But as of now, things are going on as planned. And as I mentioned, we're still going to bring you this Bengals content every week, a new podcast. Our guy, Kareem Elgazar, he will be joining us again all season long. We'll be doing the pods and these videos for now until we can all see each other in the booth again. Tyler, what do you have up on Cincinnati.com?
Well, I have a complete breakdown of the entire Bengals schedule. So go on Cincinnati.com and check that out. There's over 1,000 words in that, so you better read every single one of those words because I have everything all laid out and why I have the Bengals going 6-10 this coming season. So check it out on Cincinnati.com, and I'll have some other content coming up for you shortly.
Stay with us over on E&Q Sports and on the podcast, the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson, Kareem Elgazar, and Tyler Dragon. Thanks for listening.